of patience to get through the things that we face on a daily basis. What I want to do is talk for a moment or two about the importance of possessing patience. The first thing that I think we need to consider is that patience is born out of adversity. Now, that's a tough thought when you consider that patience is the byproduct of tough times. Now, you know, the Bible tells us that man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Life is filled with trials and troubles. I don't know of anyone who is excluded from the troubles and trials of life. It's just a part of the world that we live in. We live in a day and time when many people are suffering. And you go back and look at history. Some of God's greatest and noblest servants faced adversity. We can read about men like Joseph of old. You remember Joseph was betrayed by his own brothers. They sold him out into the hands of the Ishmaelites and Midianites. And then David, a man after God's own heart. David was hounded by King Saul. Saul, time and again, sought to take his life. And then he was able to somehow avoid a coup by his own son, Absalom, who tried to steal the kingdom from him. In the New Testament, we can read about the adversities that the New Testament church faced. If you want to go back and look at the book of Acts, one of the things that is chronicled there time and again, the difficulties and adversities that they faced, even to the point of death. Stephen was a martyr for the cause of Christ. James, the brother of John, was put to death with the sword by Herod. The people in the first century, they knew something about adversity. When Peter wrote to Christians, you remember he talked about how they were suffering for the cause. He talked about the trying of their faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tried by fire. He would encourage them to put their trust in the Lord as to a faithful Creator. They faced a lot of troubles, a lot of trials. And so today, we face an onslaught of adversities, the various adversities of life. It might come in the form of sickness, illness, disability. It might be that you become discouraged and despondent with life, the loss of a loved one, the loss of economic stability. I mean, there are just so many things that we face day in and day out. And yet, you remember what James said in James chapter 1? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, when I look at that passage of Scripture, on the surface, it would seem odd to think that we ought to rejoice in the trials of life. And yet, that's what James said. Bearing in mind that James was being guided by the Holy Spirit. As Peter said, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So James is encouraging Christians in the first century, and they knew something about adversity and trial. And James is saying, you need to learn to rejoice in your difficulties. So, that being said, is there a value or a premium attached to the adversities of life? Well, James said so. He said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith produces patience or perseverance. And he said, let patience have its perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. And the idea is the trials of life will breed within us a persevering spirit. Or they will enable us to mature in the Christian life. Growth does not come easily, does it? But rather, it takes a lot of effort to grow as a child of God. Patience or perseverance is intended to bless our lives. And again, I've said this before, but I want to just reiterate it. I do not believe that when James said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, that he was saying that when we are facing an onslaught of troubles in life, that we rejoice at that moment. But I do think what he is saying is that once we come out on the other side and we can step back and begin to reflect upon the things that we have experienced, no matter the degree of adversity, that we can look back and we can say, you know what, there's some things that I learned. Number one, I've learned some things about myself. If you really want to know who you are and you want to know what you're made of, then just face some tough times in life. Those difficulties and trials will ultimately reflect something about who you are and where you are in your Christian life. But then secondly, those various trials in life will say something to us about the one upon whom we depend. Where's your trust? Is it in people? What do you trust in? You remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 46 many years ago? God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Two times in Psalm 46, the psalmist said in the long ago, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And you remember, he talked about those who wait on the Lord. So the idea is to persevere. Now, the word patience in Luke 21, verse 19, is really taken from two roots. The compound word means to abide under, to remain under. And the idea is that though the trials of life might be mounting heavily upon us, that we're able to abide under those trials and difficulties and adversities. Now again, remember Jesus is talking about the fact that Jerusalem would be sacked in the future, and yet not a single Christian perished. And the Lord Jesus talked about the signs that would accompany the destruction of the city and the temple itself, and how they should flee when those signs came to pass. But Jesus was preparing them for tough times. Now, as a Christian, is it not the case? We have no idea what's on tomorrow, do we? I can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. I can't tell you the events that will unfold throughout this week. It might be that we're going to have a great week. Everything's going to go our way. It might be the case that this week will be the week that we become submerged in some type of trial or adversity. It might be that this week we'll have some type of accident that will debilitate us, maybe for a temporary period of time, might be the duration of our life. Solomon said, who knows what a day may bring forth? So number one, to understand that there are various adversities that we face in this life. Number two, to realize that there is value placed upon the adversities that we face in this life. That's what James is saying. There is some value to you suffering. Now look, I know nobody likes to suffer. I don't like to suffer. I don't like tough times. I don't like when things don't necessarily stack up and go my way. I don't know anybody that does. But I do believe that what James is saying is that when those things occur in this life, we can use those to our benefit. When it's all said and done, they can turn out to be a great blessing in life. And sometimes it's all a matter in how you look at things. You know, if you just recognize, Okay, I'm going through some tough times. You know, think about this for a minute. What if the wheels were to fall off this week and your life began to unravel? Could it not be the case that the Lord's teaching you something? Or that this is an opportune time for you to learn something about yourself and the God that you serve? I think so. So to understand that adversity breeds patience or perseverance. In other words, the difficulties of this life will bring about perseverance. Listen to what Paul said in Romans chapter 5. You remember Paul talks about how we've been justified by faith, and because of that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, down in verse 3, Paul would say tribulation produces patience or perseverance. Perseverance or patience produces character, and character, hope. And when it's all said and done, as a child of God, what's most important? The hope that we have on the other side, isn't it? Just because we battle trials and troubles in this life does not diminish the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. If anything, the hope that we have shines brighter. As Peter would say, we have an inheritance. It's incorruptible, undefiled. It fades not away. It's reserved in heaven. I like the words of Paul in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, when he said that we live in hope of life eternal. Listen, that's hope that is grounded in the assurances of God. God backs up his promises, doesn't he? So adversity will ultimately enable us to grow in our patience. But I want you to think about another thought here. Adversity is not, or rather patience is not just born out of adversity, but patience or perseverance enables us to bear adversity. And that's what Jesus is saying here in Luke 21. Jesus is saying, in patience, possess your souls. Now, that being said, I mentioned some of the examples of people that faced adversity. Probably the most classic example that we cite is Job. And you remember in Job chapter 5 at verse 11, the Bible tells us in James chapter 5 verse 11, James said, "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure." And then he said, "You have heard of the patience or perseverance of Job, and seeing the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." Now you go back and read the life story of Job. Go back and begin sifting through his life. Can you imagine the losses that that man experienced in a very brief period of time? Now, sometimes we talk about how tough we have it in life, and I'm not in any way diminishing that. Let me tell you what, this fella was tried by fire. The devil did everything within his power to destroy this man, to destroy his faith. He lost his children. He lost a great deal of his wealth. He lost his health, lost the support of his wife. Job's out here in many respects all alone, isn't he? Remember the three friends that came to mourn with him and comfort him? The Bible tells us in chapter 2 of that book that his grief was to the extent not a word was said for 7 days. How about that? And then what about Jesus? Jesus Christ, did he not suffer immensely? Did he face adversity in life? Yes, he did. I can't help but think about what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also once suffered for sins. Jesus knew something about mental suffering. How the things of this life can tax the mind. When Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, pouring his heart out to the Father, do you not think that that was taxing mentally, emotionally? In many respects, the Lord Jesus was spent. But he kept his eyes on the Father, didn't he? Jesus faced a lot of adversity in this life. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that for the joy that was set before him, listen to him, he endured the cross. He persevered the cross. Jesus came for one purpose, that was to die for the sins of the human family. All of that in accordance with the will of the Father. Jesus came to earth, lived some 33 years upon planet earth, ministry consisting of about three and a half years. The Lord Jesus was tested and tempted and tried day in and day out. And is he not our great example? So what about the exhortation to persevere in this life? I think number one, we've got to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 12, passage I mentioned a moment ago, the writer said, seeing we are compassed by so great a cloud of witnesses, talking about those characters that were spoken of back in Hebrews chapter 11, those people that lived by faith, who faced an onslaught of difficulties and adversities in life. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us and run with patience, perseverance, or endurance the race is set before us. Now listen to him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know what he's saying? He's saying, as a child of God, look, you're going to face some tough times. You are facing tough times. If you want to get to the finish line and cross successfully, you've got to keep your eyes focused on the Lord. You got to keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And why is that? Because the Hebrew writer said, talking about Jesus, that he endured the cross, despising the shame, and ultimately sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 3, very important verse. He said, consider him who endured such hostility of sinners against himself. Why? Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. I think what the Hebrew writer is saying is, one of the greatest tools of the devil is discouragement. If he can beat you down enough, you're going to raise the white flag and say, you know what, I've had enough. I can't make it. That's exactly what he wants to do. You know, there are a lot of people in the world today that are homeless. Some are living on the street. Some are homeless because they gave up on life. Too much to bear. Easier to just live on the street. No cares, no worries in their mind. We got to keep our eyes on the Lord. There are people on the street that became discouraged, despondent, and they gave up. Some walked away from family. Some walked away from friends. Some walked away from economic stability to live on the streets. So to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. But then number two, and I think this is really critical. Number one, to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. But number two, we've got to remain faithful to the Lord come what may. I'd encourage you to underline in your Bible, if you don't have it underlined, rather Job chapter 13, verse 15. Many years ago, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I don't have all the answers as to why people are suffering. I know where suffering began. I know that there are some people that suffer because of poor choices or decisions in life. Sometimes people suffer because of poor choices, sometimes choices they make, sometimes choices of others. Sometimes people suffer just because the world we live in is plagued with pain and suffering. But no matter what we face in this life, we've got to resolve within our heart of hearts, we're going to be faithful to God come what may. So go back to James chapter 1 again. When James talked about the product of trial is perseverance, patience. So down in verse 12, here's what James said. Blessed is the man that endures temptation or trial. That's the key right there. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he has been tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord's promised to them that love him. So, is it worth it? Is it worth standing strong when times of difficulty come our way? Is it worth it to live for God day in and day out? James said it is. And James was an inspired writer. So to understand that no matter what we face in this life, it will be worth it to be faithful to God. It might be that you're here today and you have been beaten down to a pulp. As we say sometimes, you've been whipped and you know it. And sometimes we become so beaten down, it's difficult to put one foot in front of the other. We're on the verge of giving up. Might be you've given up. I want to encourage you today, don't give up. Don't give in. To realize that the Lord will stand by us. There are two things that really come to mind. There are a lot of blessings that we enjoy in Christianity. And Paul talks about all those spiritual blessings that reside in Christ Jesus in Ephesians 1 verse 3. Let me tell you what, there are two things that we have that the world does not have. The world needs these things, but they don't have them. Number one, we have the privilege of prayer, don't we? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, Peter said, casting all your care on him. And the reason? Because he cares for you. When you face tough times in life and you sit down across the table from a friend or family member, and you're pouring your heart out, is it not encouraging to do that to somebody that you know genuinely cares for you? I mean, they really care. That's what Peter says. That you can cast your cares on the Lord, and the reason is because he cares for you. So number one, the privilege of prayer. And not just the privilege, but also the power of prayer. When the Hebrew writer wrote in chapter 4, verse 16, that we're to draw boldly under the throne of grace, the purpose is to receive grace and mercy in times of need. That's a great blessing. So number one, we have prayer. And number two, the abiding presence of the Lord. Go back and read the account of Job. Everything that Job faced, he faced with the Lord at his side. Now, if the Lord stood by Job, will he stand by us? Wasn't it the Hebrew writer who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper? When Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, Paul was in a Roman prison cell. And Paul said, the Lord is at hand. What do you mean, Paul? The Lord is standing right beside me. When Paul wrote his final letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you remember he talked about some type of preliminary trial. And it was during that occasion that all men forsook him, he said. No one stood with him. But he said, the Lord stood with me and the Lord strengthened me. And I'm here to tell you, the same Lord that stood by Paul will stand by you. The same God that stood by Job will stand by you. You just have to believe it. To believe it and to practice the abiding presence of God in life. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to come to Christ. I don't have to tell you life's tough. It's tougher when you don't have Christ. But it's tough. What we need is Christ. And there are many, many reasons why we need Christ. But ultimately, we need Christ to forgive our sins and to give us a future. That future in heaven. Well, what would you need to do? You need to do what they did 2,000 years ago. What was that? Put your faith and trust in Jesus as the Son of God. To be convicted that He is who He claimed to be, the divine Son of the living God. And then to willingly walk away from the ways of this world. It's called repentance. And then to confess with your mouth what you believe, that Jesus is the Son of God. To be buried with Christ in baptism. To rise to walk in newness of life and to know that all those sins have been forgiven, as Paul would say in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. If you're here today and maybe you're facing some trouble and trial in life. Maybe the bottom has fallen out. You need to understand that the same God that stood by His people centuries ago will stand by you. If you need the prayers of the church for any reason, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing.